Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Well, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am absolutely honored that you have joined the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That is my story, and you know what we do here? That's right. We celebrate the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done, because you're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate. Boy, do you innovate, and you're changing the world. And not only that, you're changing people's lives. We celebrate you on this particular podcast. Thank you very much for joining. And now, we're going to have a great interview. You got to get your pen and paper out because this one's a barn burner. His name is Leon Peters, right? And he is with a small little boutique. No, it's not. He's with Deloitte, and he's the global consumer industry leader. And we're going to be talking about a survey that they are just doing to try to get the sentiments of what's happening in the world from a consumer perspective. Let's get going. I know that's a lot to take in, but I'm telling you, man, Leon had to. It's a fabulous tool. And the team at Deloitte have just done a masterful job in trying to really check the pulse of what's happening globally in light of this pandemic. And they do not disappoint. And I mean, this particular interview is just off the frickin' charts. But before we get going, I want to talk to you a little bit about a couple of things. One, we have Heroes of Manufacturing, which is a new initiative that is brought about by 30-plus manufacturers. And all we're doing on that particular initiative movement is celebrating manufacturers, celebrating the people of manufacturing, and just highlighting the stories of how they're making our lives better and how they have just truly given them all throughout this pandemic, and we're going to continue. You can find out more. You can get involved. If you have a hero to nominate, boom, you go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com, and there it is, man. You'll be talking to me. That's who. But anyway, it is such an honor to be working with companies like Hitachi, companies like Toyota, companies like Smuckers and Ericsson and Eaton. It just goes on and on and on, and they're all dedicated to highlight the wonderful women and men of manufacturing that keep the world moving. That's what that's about. And also, because we're always hammering on collaboration, innovation, education, and taking action, those are the tenets of what this podcast and future podcasts will constantly be focused on. Now, that brings me to this interview. And so in the interview, Leon and I had this conversation about, hey, you don't have all the answers. And so one of the real challenges that take place, and it is the how people are dealing with this challenge, not just companies, but people, but companies are people. And so you get the linkage there. But they have come up with this incredible, and I mean incredible, survey ongoing and tracking the sentiments, the consumer sentiments, and it's global. And I think in this conversation, we had 11 countries, and I believe Leon and his team are going to go beyond that, of course, and bring in other countries and begin to really collect the data. Yeah, this sort of, how do we get back up and running? What do we do? What's the feeling? What's the consumers thinking about? And, you know, not only that, you can slice and dice the data. They have created such an incredible platform that if you're saying, oh, I'm just interested in the United States, you can filter the data by country. But if you're saying, hey, I want to know something about India, boom, it's right there, and it's ongoing, and you can see trends, and they just keep it going. And you know what's it's incredible? It's free. You can go out there, and in fact, it'll be out here on industrialtalk.com. But, I mean, it's pretty doggone cool, and I just thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with Leon. So anyway, enough of that. Remember, Heroes of Manufacturing, check it out, heroesofmanufacturing.com. And also remember, you can't do it all alone, so you got to figure out how to collaborate. Deloitte is a great company to begin that conversation of collaboration. So anyway, here's Liam Peters. And once again, he is, big old long title, Global Consumer Industry Leader at Deloitte. That's an impressive title, and his stat card is impressive. So enjoy the interview. Leon, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you made time in your busy schedule. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing fine. After 10 weeks of lockdown, I'm absolutely looking forward to opening up of the economy as well, having a little bit more personal freedom.
I hear you, man. I'm telling you, man. I discovered barbecue chips and what else? No, barbecue chips. I was really committed to the barbecue chips. I'm back to working out, but right now I'm ready for it to really open up and start to move forward. And that's why we're going to have this particular conversation. For the listeners, Leon, give us a little background on where you come from and what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, I'm a partner at Deloitte, being based out of Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and I'm heading up our global consumer industry within Deloitte. And, you know, I have a personal background of serving consumer businesses for the last 25 years.
So. When we talk about consumer, what do we mean by consumer, just sort of generally speaking?
Yeah, the way we define it is, you know, we see that we have four sectors in consumer. The first one is retail. The second one is consumer products, which are, you know, all of the Unilevers, Nestle's, Procter & Gamble's, Nike's, Coca-Cola's of this world. The third one is automotive, and the fourth one is travel, hospitality, and services. So airline business, etc. Tourism.
I'm writing this down as we go along because these are gems and I want to understand. So you listeners out there, you better be taking notes on this one. I'm going to be testing you I'm not going to be testing you. So what fascinates me, listeners, what happened is, you know, we're out on LinkedIn and I'm looking around and I've got some great relationships with individuals within Deloitte. And this particular report came out and it is called, it's called Deloitte State of Consumer Tracker. And what it is, it's just sort of taking, it's a survey by country from a consumer perspective. And you jump in if I'm just sort of, I'm trying to be real general here, Leon. And then it says, hey, it just starts from a COVID, how are we going to get this this economy back up and running? So it's a great report. And kudos to Deloitte and you for pulling this together, because for me, I just think it's fantastic. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that report and some of the, I guess, the realizations from a country perspective of how we are looking at this whole state of the economy, and hopefully getting beyond it. Please, Leon,
and that's absolutely the way, you know, why and the way that we approached it. Because, you know, we wanted to give, I would say, good insight to all of the companies that we serve around how consumers are really behaving, and especially the interplay between personal safety and the economic behavior of consumers. You know, that really triggered us. So how safe are people feeling? And what type of behavior are they adding to that, you know, level of safety that they have? And of course, you know, that is changing over time, right? Because I think you can recall, although it looks ages ago, 10 weeks ago, when most of us, went really into that COVID-19 situation, you know, we were all more or less in panic and we thought this is the end of the world. But over the last 10 weeks, we also have got used a little bit more to, you know, what we now can call the new normal. And that's also what you see represented in our consumer tracker, right? Because, you know, we do that on a bi-weekly basis. So we interview a lot of people in 15 different countries. And we do that every second week. And, you know, because of that, you know, we see how that interplay between personal safety and economic behavior of consumers is developing in many different categories. So.
See, what's interesting is I'm looking at your latest survey, and you've included now Mexico and Ireland. So what I see happening within this particular report is that, of course, it's going to continue to expand because there is a necessity to understand what I like the fact that you're saying, hi, I'm a company. I need to understand the consumer side and how they feel and what they're looking, how they're looking at the economy in general, which is feelings-based in a sense. And I like that linkage, and I think really that's pretty cool. And you, how large is this pool of you know, respondents?
Yeah, we interview 1,000 people per country, and you know that is scientifically approved. So I think that's something that's very important to say. And it has a margin of ±3%. Which actually is not bad at all. So it gives a very good view on what the general feeling is of consumers. You know, we now have done 3 surveys, and you know, we see quite some consistency out of every single country that participates.
So I'm going to be providing a link to this on the Industrial Talk podcast. Do you update this specific link, or will that link continue to change to reflect new countries, new results? How do you keep people informed on that and up to date with the latest and greatest?
Yeah, so you know, every second week we are doing that survey in those countries that are included, which now is, you know, the number is now 15 countries. And you know, within 24 hours we have the results published in our dashboard. And also the beauty of the dashboard is that you can also look back in time. So we are not only reflecting the latest one, but you could also see, okay, what happened 2 weeks ago? What happened 4 weeks ago? And that is very interesting because, you know, our clients are really wanting to know, you know, how our consumers are going to behave. You know, everyone is speaking about the new normal, but what does that new normal actually entails? And that is what's no one knows, and we neither. But we believe that by putting that lens on those consumers, and you know, having that trade-off or the balance between, you know, your personal safety and how you're going to behave, and how you are going to expect to behave, you know, that is being reflected in the dashboard, and with if a little bit of lens to the future.
I just think it's brilliant, and why it's so important. And especially from me as a business owner, I want to know what the consumers are thinking. And this is really the only way. Without a dashboard like this, with their scientifically proven, all I am is just grasping at straws. I might think that they have a lot of anxiety, and I might think that they're into whatever their capital, whatever it might be. Here is a scientific approach. So let's go through sort of the structure of the report itself. And one of the things that I'm really interested in, and why this is sort of a question, is that you've asked the question of global anxiety index, and it's sort of a geographical representation of the global anxiety of how countries feel. 1,000 respondents, boom. And what fascinates me is that at the top right now on this report is India, and then Mexico, and then so on. And clearly at the bottom, Germany doesn't have any anxiety. It's like based off of this report. Fascinating. Can you give us a little background on why that is important?
Yeah, I think, you know, that anxiety really represents, you know, how consumers, you know, if they feel safe, yes or no, in this environment. And safe could be, you know, their personal safety around their health, the safety of their loved ones, and most of the time their family. You know, do they really believe that compared to the last week, do I feel more safe or less safe? And that's how we measure. So we are not putting, you know, a number out of, you know, between 0 to 10, I feel 8. No, you know, how much more do I feel safe compared to last week? And you know, quite interesting, if you look to that global dashboard, is that you see a couple of countries actually, you know, really moving into that index. So where, for instance, China was, I would say, less anxious a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, to, you know, in this survey, they are a little bit more anxious. And why is that? Is because there were some isolated outbreaks. You know, everyone in China thought, oh my God, you know, we got through this. And then, you know, that virus popped up in certain regions. That makes few people, you know, more anxious. It's also that, you know, certain regions have said everyone needs to be tested, which also can fuel a little bit of your anxiety, as well as they go a little bit more out of the entire lockdown, you know, the financial impact might also, you know, become a little bit more apparent to them. And that also can fuel the anxiety levels.
See, this is interesting. And you mentioned it. I just went back when you said China has a, it appears that they've got an increase in anxiety. Okay. So I said, oh, I'm going to check that out. And I just went on and I went back in history on this dashboard, and it's absolutely correct. I mean, based off of your results, which is just from my perspective, if I'm a business, if I put my business hat on, then I can see sort of trends that are taking place. And when we start talking about anxiety, Leon, are we talking about this very top part of the dashboard, a summary based off of certain criteria?
Yeah, we are asking actually a couple of questions. But, you know, if you would like to summarize it in one question, is, you know, do I feel more anxious than I was last week? And that's actually the question. So you don't compare it to what I said, you know, a range of 0 to 10, because, you know, that's for human beings very difficult to answer. But you only answer, you know, do I feel more or less anxious than last week? So it is really, I would say, a picture of what's happening that week. And I think, you know, if you look into the dashboard, another good example of how you see how quickly that can change is in South Korea.
South Korea. I was just noticing South Korea. It's like, bam.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they were pretty much in the green, where they say, okay, you know, we have it under control, and here we go again. But then in Seoul, in a couple of clubs and nightclubs, you know, they had that outbreak. You know, it was pretty isolated, but it immediately had an effect on the anxiety level of the South Koreans. Because everyone was thinking, oh, my God, you know, what's going to happen here? Are we going back into the crisis, or, you know, can we continue to go out? And if you look into, for instance, to Japan, which is also very interesting, you know, when you compare it with 1 month ago, the anxiety level was really very high in Japan. You know, they were really anxious and they were almost a top scorer. But 4 weeks later, you know, there are now more people that are less anxious compared to last week than, you know, almost everyone around the world, with exceptions of the Netherlands and Germany, by the way. But, you know, they are really now what we call in the green. And, you know, they moved from, you know, 40% anxiety to minus 5% anxiety. And that's a big move. But if you look to the underlying figures, you see that in Japan, you know, they really control the virus in a very structured way, with less panic, very controlled. If you look to the mortality rates, you know, it's very, very low compared to other countries. If you look to the people that are infected, it's very low. And it might all have to do also with, I would say, the cultural way of the entire society, which is much more social distancing avant la lettre than in, you know, many other cultures and countries around the world. So,
why? And I'm once again, I'm telling you, listeners, you got to go out there and get this dashboard. I mean, it's really very fascinating, and the ability to be able to sort of navigate and to draw a picture. Even India, a couple of weeks back, had a really high anxiety rate. Even they're coming down. What do you make of everybody? It seems like everybody's sort of shifting to probably the new norm, or getting ready to sort of accept it and then get back to business. Do you find, what do you think about that?
No, I think that's a good observation, Scott. I also believe that, you know, this entire COVID-19 crisis gone, you know, via different waves, you know, over the entire world, right? Where we see, you know, we are recording this, as you know, by the end of May. Right? And, you know, we know that in mainland Europe, you know, most of the crisis is getting a little bit more behind us. Right? Where in the UK, you know, they are in the start of getting it behind us. In the US, it is, you know, I don't want to say on the peak, it's flattening a bit. But, you know, if you look to South America, you know, in Brazil and also in Africa, you know, the big you know, pinnacle still needs to come. Right? And, you know, you see that the different countries and the way that anxiety index is moving is actually moving a line, you know, all of those waves that I just described.
I think it's a positive trend. I mean, the reality is that it is what it is. We're going to have to figure it out. We're going to have to figure out how to navigate this market, how to generate opportunities, bring in solutions, whatever it might be, through innovative options, whatever it, but we're going to have to figure it out. And I like the fact that you're, how long do you see this sort of survey going on for Deloitte?
Yeah, we initially said, okay, you know, let's do this till the September timeframe, but we are really considering to move this towards, I would say, at least the end of this year. And why? Because, you know, many governments and many institutions are now speaking about, you know, will there be a second wave?
Yeah.
And therefore, we believe, you know, it might be good to extend it. Not that we necessarily, you know, believe that that second wave is going to happen, you know, no one knows. Right? The likelihood is pretty high, but also with all of the new standards in place of social distancing, yeah, of washing our hands, you know, we might be able to push it out. Right? But, you know, we would like to extend it till the end of the year. So most likely that will happen, Scott.
I think that's brilliant. I really do, because eventually you're going to see. Right now, I would imagine that there are such extremes within the data, and if you're out there, you're looking at this particular dashboard. They've done a great job with the information. Like they'll, you guys have displayed the information in a very great way. But what's good about it is that you've got that information circle off to the right side that gives you real details of what goes into that data, which is just spectacular. So there's no reason why you can figure it all out. What I would be concerned is that, like, you get some various swings because it's still relatively new. And if this is a long tail challenge, you're going to see some, you know, data that's going to start to begin to come together and get really clear on how people are feeling and what's going on, and then take into consideration changes that are happening in the market. I think this is a great and valuable product for, I'm fascinated that it's out there. Like I'm just driving it around. I'm like, look at that, man. Deloitte is allowing me to drive this car.
Thank you so much, Scott. love it.
So when you did this, when you were going through it, what really stood out? When you're like, okay, we're gonna have this, we're gonna interview these 1,000 individuals within these countries. What was that? Wow, that I didn't see that one coming moment for you, Leon.
No, it was actually you know much more the combination of, you know, that personal health versus how am I going to behave, and also that, you know, quite a lot of that behavior is not only being fueled by, you know, how do I feel, but also in which extent am I being taken care of, you know, by my government. And, you know, what we also do, and that's also in the dashboard, as you have seen, Scott, is, you know, really looking to, you know, how do I feel about my health? So am I concerned about my health? Yeah. And am I concerned about, you know, my financial situation? In other words, can I still pay my bills? And you know what you definitely see is, you know, countries that have a you know, social safety net in place, you know, in a bigger extent than others, you know, those countries are ending up somewhere else in the matrix than the countries that hardly have that safety net in place, or cannot afford to have that safety net in place. And that's why you see India and Mexico, you know, completely at the other side of that matrix compared to countries like Germany and my own country, the Netherlands, where, you know, a lot of social safety nets are in place.
So. Yeah. And so a part of that, there's that consumer concerns section of your dashboard. And what I liked about it was, just as we were talking about it, you're talking about two components. There's this health component and the financial, both concerns, and then where they are from a data perspective. So when I look at the health concerns section to the right side, it says, I'm concerned about my physical well-being. And then it says, in this case, I'm looking at I was India, age group from 35 to 54, because I was thinking about that social safety net and all that stuff. It has an arrow down, but 77%. What does that mean?
It actually, and I'm you know, as we're speaking, I'm popping it up the data as well so that I can see, you know, what you're talking about.
Because we can, because you guys did this. Yeah. Deloitte did this.
Yeah. If you say, you know, that arrow going down is that, you know, in the previous one, it was higher. So we see a trend going down. And that's because, you know, otherwise you have to click through, you know, many different screens. And this is where you see, okay, you know, this is what the trend is. However, you know, having said that, in India, you have the country that is scoring almost the highest about, you know, what the health concerns are for, you know, the one that's being interviewed, as well the family around him or her. So.
Yeah, and then I just pulled up Netherlands age group trending down. That is just so fantastic. And excuse me. I'm just surprised that you guys, if this is all out there and you're going to continue, and they're going to get some really great insights into consumer behavior. And do you find, maybe you've got your dashboard, you've got the, are you going to expand some of your questions?
Yeah.
Depending on, it's like,
yeah, it's a good question. You know, when we started with this, and that's now more than 1 month ago, and we have done three surveys as we speak, and we thought, okay, you know, we are pretty comprehensive in the number of questions that we have, and, you know, in the scope and the range of questions. But, you know, now we, of course, realize that, you know, a lot of the economy is starting up. So a question that's super relevant now is, you know, how safe do you feel to go back to work? And, you know, we, as all consumers, you know, do have, or most of the consumers do have, you know, a job. And of course, you know, there are also the more important ones that have lost their job. Pretty much aware of that, of course, as well. But, you know, the people that have a job, you know, how safe do you feel to go back to your job?
That's a great question. I don't have that. I mean, all of these are just like, I don't know what the results are going to be, but that's a great question to ask. I don't, because it impacts your business. If people are feeling unsafe going back, then what do you do from a business perspective to address that concern and still get work done? You know,
exactly.
It's interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I think that, you know, every employer, to, you know, has the obligation to take care of, you know, the safety and health situation of their employees, of course. And, you know, this is helping them to, as well, of course, the individual service that they will do to, amongst their own employees. To, but it will definitely help them to say, okay, you know, we really need to take this serious.
I love it. Leon, we got to wrap it up. I'm telling you right now, I am just fascinated and really thankful that you and others within Deloitte are pulling this together, because this is really needed and valuable information for, I don't know, well, it's global. So for everybody, how's that? I like that, man.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think also very well and very good to mention, because we have a limited time in this podcast, but it's also good to see that we are really going to dive in into different sectors and also how people are willing to spend on less discretionary items and more discretionary items. And, you know, we are really going into a lot of details from alcohol, apparel, footwear, books, cable TV to groceries and household goods. So there's a lot of information that you can find there.
I'm looking at it. We could keep on going. Maybe we need to create a second one, because I'm telling you right now, we haven't even gotten into that. The less discretionary versus non-discretionary items, and the spending. I disagree with the alcohol. I think that's gone through the roof, quite frankly. I think people are lying on that one.
Might be.
And barbecue chips.
I'm not going to rule that out, Scott.
And I haven't seen barbecue chips on this list, and I guarantee you that went up considerably too.
Actually, about, you know, maybe we should do another one. I really like that idea, Scott. But let's do that other one then I would say, a little bit, you know, around summertime after summer, when we see more recovery of the economy. Yes. And let's see what's happening then.
I love that. I would absolutely love that, because you're going to see some, I mean, we just don't know. And I love the fact that you're tracking this. And making it happen and getting the data out there and making it consumable by pretty much everybody. Hey, are you active out on LinkedIn? If somebody says, hey, I want to get a hold of him.
Absolutely. You can definitely find me there.
And that's Leon, L-E-O-N. Peters is his last name, but don't spell it like we would spell it here in the United States. It's P-I-E-T-E-R-S. Put a comma in there, slap in Deloitte. You'll find this gent with no problem. And you'll be impressed with his stat card out on LinkedIn. I'm telling you guys are doing a great job out there. I'm really impressed, man.
Yeah. And I hope our clients are too as well.
If they're not, they should be. You let them talk to me, because I'll put a little fire underneath them. That's for sure. Absolutely. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side, as we always do. All the contact information, what we need to do, the link to this particular dashboard and everything else, coming your way on the other side. Do not go away. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Once again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Leon Peters is the name. His stat card out on LinkedIn, phenomenal. We have the link to the actual report, and it's the dynamic report out on industrialtalk.com at his podcast landing page. It's all there. You can't, I mean, you really have got to check this thing out. It is impressive. So anyway, thank you to the team at Deloitte, Leon, and everybody that put that report together. Phenomenal job. Kudos to you. We need that. And I love that global perspective, because we all are struggling in this particular pandemic. Also, remember, go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com. That's heroesofmanufacturing.com. Get involved in the movement. Be a part of the manufacturers that are just that whole pool. It's going beyond 30. It's going and it's growing. Be a part of that. And it's easy. You'll be talking to me. Submit your manufacturing hero. See how you can get involved. Everything spot on. Wonderful movement. Also, go out to theindustrialtalk.com, and that's where I have the Industrial Academy, and that is focused on industrial sales, industrial marketing, and strategies associated with that. We need more than ever. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. Thank you very much, and we will be coming back with another great interview, so stay tuned.